This is season two of the Books as Bad as Twilight podcast,
where we're reading Harry Potter and the Cursed Child by Jack Thorne.
Visit us at our website, www.babatpodcast.com.
Get lost with us in the magical world of Harry Potter.
Not
season two.
All right, so.
Wait, so what are we doing?
Oh, I guess we're recording our next episode.
All right, so we are discussing Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Indeed we are, the play by Jack Thorne.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not J.K. Rowling.
No, not by J.K. Rowling. That is very important for you to know, listeners, because apparently lots of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a thing. It's a thing out there on the internet. So, anyway.
I actually wrote in my book, like, physical book. I didn't take notes.
Yeah, I would have if it was my book.
Yeah.
As you know, I have a library copy because my book I gave to a friend.
And, it's lost and gone forever.
It's lost in a book. That doesn't make sense, but...
Okay, it's okay lost. So it's a book within a book.
Yeah, kind of. Anyway, so today...
What, scenes are we going through?
So we're going to be discussing Act 1, Scene 1 through and including Scene 9.
Okay, so spoilers if anyone's reading along with us.
Indeed, yes.
Up to and including Scene 9, which is Harry and Ginny Potter's house. The bedroom.
What's going on there?
A lot of nothing.
Yeah, a lot of nothing. I know you got excited, listener. You haven't read this play and you're like, oh man, they really went to a dangerous route.
They have children,
and you know Harry Potter.
You know those Weasleys? They're popping them out left and right.
Popping babies left and right. Well, you know, yeah. You thought this was an adult play, but no.
No.
I mean, yes, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that adult.
All right. Can we talk about the opening? Oh, sorry.
No, you can do that. Yeah.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
The opening stage direction.
Sure.
A busy, crowded station full of people trying to go somewhere. Amongst the hustle and bustle, two large cages rattle on top of two laden trolleys. They're being pushed by two boys, James Potter and Albus Potter. Their mother, Ginny, follows after. A 37-year-old man, Harry, has his daughter, Lily, on his shoulders. Lily's 9.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because it's Albus's first year. He's 11. Lily's 2 years younger than Albus. She's 9 years old. Were you nine sitting on your father's shoulder?
Yeah, that's a pretty big child.
That's fourth grade.
Unless she's like, you know, very tiny, which, you know, it doesn't specify, but so we don't know.
That's weird, though, to have your 9-year old child on your shoulders.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
I don't like that.
No, it's weird.
And also, it was very specific about the age of Harry Potter.
I know. It was very specific. I just noticed that. Yeah.
And there's no, like, stage direction of, like, enter left, enter right.
Right.
Isn't that typically what plays have?
It is. And this play doesn't. This play has very weird stage direction.
Yeah.
I think anybody you talk to will tell you that. And again, this is, like, a script, but, like, I mean, not a script. What am I saying? Like a rehearsal script.
Oh, my one sentence summary for this.
Oh, right.
Sorry, is Harry Potter and a disappointing start.
That's a great one sentence
They're
summary.
They're all going to be Harry Potter and or Albus Potter and.
Yes.
Just to let you know.
I love that's kind of like Friends where the episodes always start with the one with XYZ.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. This one I should also note, this scene and the next scene are basically the epilogue retold because there are differences from this and the epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad, but, you know, I'm not too happy.
I haven't read the epilogue. I meant to last night, but I got sidetracked. Also, I was drunk. So,
well, Brittany, come on now.
I had such a headache.
Did you?
Yeah. Like, Kevin went and played X-Wing with his friends. Mm-hmm. We were just coming back from that beer and wine festival.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm getting my jams, and I'm going to read this epilogue. And I ended up watching Big Mouth and something else on Netflix and falling asleep. So...
Fair enough.
Very productive evening for me.
Very productive. Yes, this is recreating the epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, you go first with what you wanted to say.
Well, I just basically wrote the last two parts of this scene Harry is talking to Albus, saying, don't be scared to go through the portal and all this type of stuff. And he said, don't stop and don't be scared. You'll crash into it. Oh, don't be scared. You'll crash into it. It's not like a...
Sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't be scared. You'll crash into it. That's very important. Best to do it at a run if you're nervous. And I thought it was cute as being a reflection of Harry's first time through it. So then the stage direction is Harry and Lily put their hands on Albus's trolley. Ginny joins James's trolley. Together, the family runs headlong into the barrier. Where's Albus?
I was kind of wondering that, too. Yeah. Like, is he still touching the trolley and they're just on either side of him? Yeah. I don't know.
And also, they've done this before. Like, right. Were Albus and Lily at home when Ginny and Harry brought James the first time?
Yeah.
Or so, like, 2 years prior? Cause
he's a year older, I think.
I thought James was 2 years older.
I don't know.
I read somewhere last night said there's 2 years between each of them.
Okay. So I don't know. We'll have to look into it, but maybe you're right. Okay, so
regardless, they've done this before.
Yeah, yeah,
they've done it, yeah. So I just found that a little weird. But I like the parallel between Albus being nervous to go through the portal.
Yeah.
But also, Harry was nervous going through the portal because he's not from a wizarding family.
I was going to say, that's like the dumb part. Like, there's a lot in this play that we'll get to. That it's, like, referencing some things that, like, don't make sense if it's a child growing up in a wizarding community. Yeah. Like, Harry didn't, so that's why he was introduced to things.
And he was nervous.
Yeah, and people are getting introduced to things, and I'm like, but you probably should have known about this. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Because, like, when Harry goes and meets the Weasleys for the first time, and they're just, oh, just go.
Yeah.
Pop, 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 right through the portal.
Right.
And, like, Ginny, who wasn't even Hogwarts age at that time, she's just like, yeah, casually walking through.
Right, yeah.
So I just feel like that was a little... It was done purposely just to reflect the fact that it's a mirrored situation.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say, I do like you said, how it reflects his experience. Like, best do it at a run if you're nervous. Like, that reminds me of Mrs. Weasley, you know? One thing, building off of, like, the fact of things that the characters should probably know, but we're told again.
Yeah.
This is a very little thing, but it's when... I think it's when James, he's kind of poking fun at Albus. Let me find the actual line.
I only might say he might be in Slytherin.
Yeah, and how they're saying, like, well, we wrote to your brother 3 times a week last year. So I think he is a year older.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, so then we wrote to him 3 times a week last year. And then Albus looks accusingly at James. And then Ginny says, yes, you may not want to believe everything he tells you about Hogwarts. He likes to laugh, your brother. And I'm like, oh... Come on. Like, first of all, he likes a laugh. Like, I don't know. It's just a weird expositional phrase. Yeah. Like,
that. There's a lot of exposition in this.
Yeah. Which, again, it's a play.
That's okay. That's what I was about to ask you. Do plays usually have more exposition than stories?
Yeah. Like, they have to.
Oh, they have, like, soliloquies and stuff like that. And when,
yes.
So you kind of have to have more expedition. Am I saying that right?
Exposition?
Exposition.
What were you saying?
Expedition.
Oh. I like that better. No, exposition. I guess, like, they have to have something. But I feel like just their interaction. I feel like that's still, like, a soliloquy, I guess, is a little different than this.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to say, like, even if you're establishing that this character is a trickster, then have him do something trickstery. Like, well, which he does.
He laughs and runs away. And
right.
All that type of stuff.
Which is funny. I don't think that she had, or she could have said, like, so it says, he likes to laugh, your brother. What she could have said is, like, Al, you know he likes to mess with you. Just ignore him. Or something maybe more refined than what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something like that. But instead she says, he likes to laugh, your brother. And it's like, yeah, Mom, I know. I've lived with him my entire life.
It kind of feels like, you know, last season we were talking about the words seem a little bit more formal than they should be. I think I kind of feel like that is. It doesn't seem like a natural phrasing.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I don't... Yeah, this is very short. I mean, the acts are very short in this. I mean, scenes are very short. So I don't have anything more to say about this one.
It was kind of just a disappointing start.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely, definitely. And so let's move on to scene two. Where we're continuing the epilogue. Go ahead with your one-sentence summary.
Harry Potter and dad jokes.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
All the actually, it's like Ron Weasley and dad jokes, yeah. But no, same that's okay. thing.
So, yeah, we get much more of the epilogue in this part.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to set up the scenes. Act one, scene two, platform 9 3/4.
Okay.
So the transition change. And go on.
Oh, I was just going to say that one thing that's a little... I'll just point out some of the differences. Mm-hmm. So one thing that they say in this chapter is everyone is staring at us. So in the original book, everybody's staring at Harry. But now it's kind of like they're staring at the family, at Harry, Ron, and Hermione. Mm-hmm. That... Which I kind of like. I like because Harry, I mean, Ron and Hermione played such a pivotal part of Harry's story.
Yeah.
That they, I think, would also get that recognition. But also then, that was on page 10 of my copy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody's copy will be the same pages. And then on to page 13, I think Ginny says to the three of them, people always look at you.
Yeah.
Meaning at the three of you. So that's a little bit of a change from Harry to the trio.
And it makes sense, though, what their professions are, that everyone's going to be staring at them.
Exactly.
Because we find out later that Hermione is the Minister of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. The minister walks onto platform 9 3/4. Everyone's going to turn their head.
Right.
And now you have Ron, who's a famous jokester now, which I don't really like.
I know.
To be perfectly honest, I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't like it either. Yeah. It's a shame. And we'll get into that more as the play goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ron, in the epilogue, when they talk about how he drove there, and he ends up saying to Harry that he confounded the driver. I mean, the tester. But in this, he does not. They just kind of joke about it. But he never...
Yeah, Hermione thinks I... Right. Did that.
And he never confirms it. So that's interesting.
I forget about that in the epilogue. I'll have to read that again. Did you reread it?
No. I just know it.
Dork.
It's embarrassing. I'm not embarrassed, but yeah.
I shut out a lot of what happened in the epilogue because I did not like it.
I liked it when I first read it. I say I liked it, but I felt conflicted about it. But now... I like it that it ties up the story, but I don't like how neat and tidy it is.
That's why I didn't like it.
Yeah, I kind of wish instead of having the epilogue, I don't know, why not have an extra chapter talking about Harry, Ron, and Hermione after the war and like stuff that happened? I mean, that whole ending of that book I don't like, even though it's one of my favorites in the series.
Yeah, it was. I agree 100-fold.
Let me see. The only other thing that's kind of different, let's see. Additional dialogue is added, which we can comment on. And then that's basically it, just the additional dialogue between Harry and Albus and just every other room. Yeah.
So in the epilogue, fresh in my memory, does Ron play these tricks?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a new part of it.
The trick I'm referring to is Ron is taking Lily's nose off her face, essentially. Like that stupid thing that like somebody... puts their two fingers around your nose and push out with your thumb that you fool children with. Like little young 5-year-old. Not even five.
You have
to be like 3.
Yeah.
Maybe
like,
even 2.
Yeah.
She's 9. But he's actually removing her nose. So that's a little bit of a bigger...
That's why I got confused. Trick. He actually removed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Because she's like, have you got my trick? And he's talking about the nose stealing breath. So he breathes on her face.
Yeah.
You smell of porridge. Bing, bang, bong, young lady. Get ready for not being able to smell at all. And he lifts off her nose. Ta-da.
Yeah.
At this stage direction, I laughed at. Ta-da. His hand is empty. It's a lame trick. Everyone enjoys its lameness.
Yes. Oh, that's cringy. Like, come on.
I laughed out loud and Kim was like, what? And I told him and he goes, well, it's a play. I'm like, yeah, I know. But how are you supposed to express people enjoying the lameness? I don't know. It's just...
I guess because it's a rehearsal script, they put it there because they're trying to get across what the actors should be doing.
Yeah.
But I feel like... This is a very controversial thing.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe not controversial, maybe that's the wrong word, but like a very debated thing. What right do you give, how much liberty do you give the actors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So I imagine this being like a parody. And like, in that scene comes up, everyone's like standing facing the crowd, but their heads turned towards Ron with their hands on their hips, like Superman, like pose and just going,
you
know, like that's how I imagine it going on, and that's awesome. Funny to me.
Yeah, I actually would love that, and I would love like seeing Ron as like because Ron, if you think about it in the series, is always viewed as kind of the joke part. Like, he's not as serious as the other two, or maybe not as...
He's not taken as seriously, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that would be cool to kind of play that up a bit more, even as an adult, but as, like, a joke, not seriously, but... Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems very out of character for him to be taking Fred's place.
It's weird. Yeah. And it almost feels like I don't want to judge him on being a failure, because I don't think he's a failure. But at the same time, it's a weird thing, like, that he went to the joke shop, like, when he had such aspirations to work with Harry.
I just feel like with Ron, I don't mind him being in the joke shop.
Yeah.
I mind him playing these pranks, because he was not a prankster. He never was a prankster.
Yeah.
That was the twins and Ginny sometimes.
Right.
Never Ron. Ron was always the butt of the jokes.
Yeah.
And for him to have such a dramatic change, I don't like that. Yeah. And like, it's not because I feel a certain, like, kinship to the previous books. It just seems out of character. And I also feel that if I imagine him working at St. whatever.
Oh, St. Mungo's?
St. Mungo's. Mm. Because
that would be cool.
That's how I personally would have liked Ron's character development to go.
That would have been really cool. Mm. One thing I wanted to ask you about on page 13 at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand this line. I'm wondering if you did, or if I'm just being dumb. So I'll just read the whole thing. Let's see. You know, Jin, this is Ron. You know, Jin, we always thought that there was a chance you could be sorted in Slytherin. What? And then Ron says, honestly, Fred and George ran a book. What does that mean?
I think it's like a bookie.
Okay. Like a bet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ran a book. Okay. I think that's what the
You're probably
meant.
Right. Okay.
Because that's the only thing I could think of in context.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I feel everything is kind of... Like, it doesn't flow with the normal progression of a conversation.
I agree.
In this section. And I understand that there's a group of, like, what, 8 people right now, and they're all talking back and forth over around each other. But nothing seems to, like, get answered with one another. I don't know.
Well, I also think that part of that is that there's a lot not... I think a lot of times when you're reading... Obviously, we pay attention to what's being said, but also pay attention to what's not being said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about Fred and George, but where's that weight that Fred is no longer with us? That Fred, you know, that this kind of thing where that would have haunted George for the rest of his life, which, by the way, I don't think George makes it into this play. I'm not positive about that, but there's no weight to the fact that any of the previous books have happened, except when it comes to Harry.
Yeah.
Hermione and Ron, especially Ron and Ginny, not so much. I think there's just the things that are skated over so that we can put more of a focus on Harry's issues. But the thing is, that was what made the book so great, is that you had, like, Harry's issues would have been that Fred is dead and, you know, that he cares about the Weasleys because he's part of their family. That would have been cool to get a scene where they're at the Weasleys or something eating together.
And there's an empty chair left for him.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Boom.
That would have been
very impactful visually.
Yeah. And I know we're very much in the beginning of this, but it's just there's just a lot that's not being said that I feel like just very contradictory to what these characters might be saying, especially because they met, like, in the actual epilogue, they don't mention Fred and George. I don't believe. Like, I think they mention Teddy Lupin.
Yes.
Which is not mentioned in this at all. I forgot about that.
Really?
Yeah, not in this whole thing, I don't think. In this play. I could be wrong.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which pisses me off.
That is, because that is Harry's godson.
Yeah, that could have been such a great story, because he's like a reflection of Harry. He too lost his parents in the war.
I think he was more meant to be a reflection of Harry than Albus is.
That would actually, to me, considering the way the story goes, I think that would have been a better story.
Do you think Albus is supposed to be more reflective of kind of like Draco? Living up to the expectations of the Malfoy name.
Yeah.
Living up to the Potter name. Mm-hmm. People always, like, sneering and judging. But then again, Malfoy was accepted in the Slytherin house. Potter's not accepted at all.
Right.
And first of all, neither of them should have been in Slytherin, like, reading, like, later on. Because I feel that Scorpius, the way they're written in this play, is not ambitious enough to be in Slytherin.
Neither of them are. Neither of them are ambitious. They should be in Hufflepuff.
They should be.
Hufflepuffs aren't ambitious, but like...
But
the trait of,
they have the loyalty to one another. Right. They protect each other fiercely. Like, no, Slytherins are ambitious.
Right.
They're cunning. Neither of them are very cunning. They might be cunning later on.
I mean, let's be honest. Albus, not the brightest bulb.
No.
And that's not a bad thing. It's just that you're right. Like, with the whole Slytherin thing, like, you would think there'd be more traits to him. I think he's just placed in Slytherin because, oh, conflict.
Yeah. I feel that that's true.
Yeah.
Also, this is weird.
Hmm.
Like, it's like one-upmanship in this part. Harry, strange. Al being worried he'll be sorted into Slytherin. Hermione, that's nothing. Rose is worried whether or not she'll break the Quidditch scoring record in her first or second year, and how early she can take her owls.
This is the first time I'll ever say, Hermione, shut up.
Yeah, like that like, I don't know, like,
yeah.
It seems like a one-up. First of all, Rose can't play Quidditch in her first year. She's not allowed to.
Right.
Harry was an exception after, what, 2 decades?
Mm.
Something like that. He's the youngest one in history.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so she's not even allowed to play it yet.
Right.
I don't know. It just, it felt weird. And it's just a weird thing to say after a parent is expressing concern for their child. It's like, oh, well, that's nothing. Look at my overachieving one.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Because it's almost like saying, there's a lot of this in this book where there's, like, so even when it comes to Harry, it's like, don't worry about it. Because, like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, he'll be fine. Like, so what if he's worrying about being in Slytherin? Mm-hmm. My Rose, like, is worried about X, Y, and Z. And then later, when Albus doesn't want to go to Hogwarts and he's upset, his dad's like, or he's like, everybody's staring at us. And Harry's like, oh, they're just staring at me. Don't worry about it. It's not you. And it's like, but he is worried about it. And he's your son. So
talk to him about it.
Yeah. So stop pushing this aside. And I understand people can be like, oh, well, it's failure as a parent, and they are, you know, they're trying to do this parenting thing, but they're still human. But that's not what I'm critiquing.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll get to that. Obviously, we're not there yet, but yeah.
I don't know. Like, and it just doesn't feel
Hermione-ish?
Oh, yeah.
Or just
the whole thing doesn't feel natural.
Yeah.
Like, Ginny, how would you feel, Harry, if he is? And then that's when Ron jumps into the, you know, they always thought you'd be in Slytherin, which I agree. I think Ginny would be a great Slytherin.
I mean, can we just agree that the sorting system is not that good?
We don't exactly know what the sorting system is.
Yeah, it's not as much as I think as humans, we love to categorize.
Yeah.
And I think that the sorting system on paper, it's awesome. But when you actually think about it, it makes no sense. Like, it makes sense to a degree.
Yeah. Albus is half-blood. Why is he in Slytherin? I thought you can't... Oh, no.
Well,
okay,
Voldemort
Snape
was in half... Yeah.
Yeah, so is Snape. Okay.
Never yeah, and Snape as well. Yeah, so I think another thing about this play that we should get is that, like, if Harry truly felt that Slytherin was no longer the bad guys, like, the first few books...
Yes. Okay,
then why do we have such... I understand this conflict with Albus and this, you know, Slytherin mentality that might still exist in the world, but why does it exist within the trio that they're making fun of Ginny?
I was going to say that too.
Yeah, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we're doing this backtracking.
Albus Severus.
Yeah.
You've named him after Snape. Like,
yeah.
He shouldn't, Albus shouldn't be thinking Slytherin, that's the bad house. It should be, I want to be in Gryffindor because that's where my whole family is from.
Right, and
not the other way around.
Yes, exactly. And why would he worry about, because I feel like the whole, like, if you want to call it the political side of Hogwarts,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's just not a thing. Like, in the first Harry Potter book when Ron's talking about it, sure, he mentions it, but that's because it's right off the Wizarding War and stuff. Where now, after the second Wizarding War, mm-hmm. people are being redeemed and saying that Slytherin, yes. because their Snape was a good guy.
Oh, don't even get me
yeah.
started.
Yeah, we won't even touch that. And, you know, all this thing that's supposed to be changing our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the public doesn't change their mind, but we're in the Potter household. We're not talking about the public. We're talking about Harry Potter and mm-hmm. Ginny. Okay, let's move on to scene 3.
at the Hogwarts Express.
Yes.
So, Albus Potter, the boy who knew nothing.
Oh, damn.
So, this scene, Albus and Rose, who is the daughter of Ron and Hermione, mm-hmm. they are looking for a trolley. And Rose is talking about how this is how all their parents, like, became friends was their first year on the Hogwarts Express. So we had to be very careful on where we sit and who we speak to. So they meet the trolley witch,
which
we'll get to
later
another time. And like the trolley witch is like, is there anything from the trolley? There's pumpkin pastries, chocolate frogs, cauldron cakes. Rose, spotting Albus's lovingly look at the chocolate frogs. Al, we need to concentrate. And, like, they're 11.
Right.
And they meet Scorpius. And instantly, Rose is a bitch.
She is. Again, Hermione and Ron are her parents. Come on.
The whole part, like, Hermione, who is, like, the pushing.
Best. Oh.
To, like, be accepting and forgiving and understanding.
Yes.
Like, I might see this from Rose if it was just Ron raising her.
Right, yeah.
But she's like, don't you know who that is? It's Scorpius, Draco Malfoy's son. It's like, how does Albus not know any of this?
Right, that's what I mean. How, like, is this not a thing? Like, and that's one thing I want to comment on real quick.
Mm-hmm.
These kids talk about Harry Potter like we would talk about Harry Potter. They're like, well, our parents met on the train when they were little. It's like, okay, like, so is that something, like, did you sit down for story time? And they're like, so day one, we sat on the train and this happened and this was our conversation and we were friends for life.
Yeah,
like, it's just this weird thing, like, nobody talks like this, nobody tells stories that way, like, mm-hmm. it's just weird. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess it's different because my grandfather used to tell me stories like this. Not my parents.
Well, my grandparents would too, but not like that. Like, maybe they would, like, they wouldn't be so specific. Like, my grandma would tell stories.
I see,
like,
what you mean.
Like, because obviously, I mean, people tell each other stories from their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like just the way they talk about their parents' childhood is as if they read it in a novel.
How integrated do you think the kids are with the outside wizarding world?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because if it, like, obviously they live in Wizarding London.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I assume because they.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I assume they are. So even unless they are strictly homeschooled, they're going to pick up. I don't even know what if they have a wizarding elementary school type
they
of thing.
They don't. Yeah, well, not that we know of. Yeah.
So if it is strictly homeschooled until they hit Hogwarts, then they won't know the rumors or how their parents met unless they're what they told. However, if they're around other children, they're going to know everything.
Well, I feel like Harry is so reluctant to talk to people about things. I don't see him giving that information to anybody except to Ron and Hermione. And maybe Ron would have been like, maybe I could see this actually if he said, yeah, I met Harry on the train and we were friends for life. Like, and then Rose going. So I could guess,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just the way they talk about it. It feels as if a biography called Harry Potter.
They might have read the biography of Harry Potter.
But he wouldn't give them that information, though, you know?
Oh,
That's, in his brain, that he made friends. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, he might have, there might have literally been a biography by him, about him, is what I'm saying.
But they don't have his inside thoughts. That's what I'm saying. Like, how did they know that he met Ron on the train? Like, who would he have? Like, he never talked about that to anybody.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, if an author is like, I'm going to write about you. How did you meet?
But I don't think Harry Potter would agree to it. That's what I'm saying.
But we don't know. That's really not listed anywhere.
No.
About that.
I'm just annoyed.
And plus, Rita Skeeter, didn't she write about stuff like that?
She did, but when she wrote about it, it was more like
the romance between
she wrote about lies, and then when he did agree, it was because of nobody believed him, and he was doing it for the greater. He didn't want to do it, but he felt he had no choice. Like, or I guess he didn't feel like he had no choice, but he just, yeah.
Well, like, literally, it's, whatchamacallit, exposition.
Yeah. Exposition. No, you're right. Yeah.
So, it's to build that story.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
But we go back to, like, this part where Albus doesn't know shit.
Yeah.
Albus looks for, from an uncomfortable rose to a desperate Scorpius. Mm-hmm. What is the rumor? Scorpius, the rumor is that my parents couldn't have children, that my father and grandfather were so desperate for a powerful heir to prevent the end of the Malfoy line that they used a time turner to send my mother back. I have so many issues with that plot line.
Yeah.
Because basically, what's her name? I can't say it.
Does it say it in here?
Yeah.
Australia
or something.
Astoria?
Astoria. Yeah. Literally, against her own will, was sent back in time, breaking wizarding laws, seducing Voldemort, having his child, and, like, maybe even, like, rape at that point. And because Draco and Lucius are so desperate for a new heir that they force this girl to do this. Like, that's weighty.
That's true. I never thought about it that way.
That's why I have 3 exclamation points by it.
Oh, my God.
That's heartbreaking.
This is why I don't... Okay, so this is why... I won't go too much into this because this will just be a very long conversation. We don't stay focused. But this is why I don't like J.K. Rowling that much anymore. Because she... Obviously, she didn't write the play.
Yeah.
But she endorses these ideas that are very problematic to the things that she supposedly stands for.
Mm-hmm.
She's agreeing to have this play, like, have this thing in there, this plot line. That is just so casually talked about that I didn't even pick up on it. I'm so glad you did, though.
Oh, God. I read that and I was like, I'm uncomfortable.
That is uncomfortable. And and the thing is, it is said so casually. And I think that happens a lot in our media where things are so casual that we don't think about the implications of what that means.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Right?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's disturbing. I don't like that. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like
that. So basically, the rumor is... Scorpius is a product of rape by the Dark Lord.
Right.
So that is the rumor.
Yeah. Okay.
And, like, I like how Albus and, like, because, oh, God, that makes me so mad about the development of, like, Rose then. Because Rose is, like, sneering at Scorpius, who has no choice in his birthrights.
Right.
And, like, is shaming him for all that. Even though he isn't the Voldemort's child. Yeah. That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
That rumor doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then she's like, ew, you're disgusting. Like, you're vermin. You're gross. You're evil.
She's a bully.
She's a bully.
Yeah.
And then Albus is like, no, I'm going to still be your friend. Right. So, like, good on you, Albus.
And I have to say, because, you know, we're not going to go into all this with doom and gloom. I personally very much like Albus and Scorpius. I don't know if this play... I don't like the play. Like, I don't know if they're always given the time of day, but I think their friendship, it's very different than the trio. They are not, you know, heralded as these great people at Hogwarts. They're bullied, and they're very quiet, both of them. In Slytherin, they're outcasts for 2 different reasons.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very interesting take on Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. I very much like that. And I really like Scorpius as a character because it shows that you can be a Malfoy and not be sinister.
Scorpius is everything Draco wanted to be.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And so I do like that, but I mean, we'll go into more of that.
I'm not sold on the... I'm sold on the idea of the characters. I'm not sold on the characters as written so far.
Yeah, I feel you there. Yeah. Definitely. The one thing I wanted to point out real quick about this is on page 16.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpius is talking about, like, all the sweets he has, and then he says, like what the pepper imp is. He starts explaining it, and I'm like,
yeah,
wouldn't he know?
No, well, it says specifically, Albus says, my parents don't allow me sweets.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
That's very specifically stated.
My bad.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why, though, because, like.
It's a weird, yeah.
It would make sense for Hermione not allowing it.
Right.
But Ginny and Harry, not so much.
And why wouldn't they allow, like, I feel like my parents didn't let me have sweets either, but, like, when I went to a birthday, yeah, like, I went to a birthday party and I had a Coke, like,
yeah.
Like, it's not like I'd never had a sweet or, like, had, like candy when I was little, even though I wasn't allowed to have sweets. So I guess they just ban them all together, which what a terrible childhood.
That's awful.
Oh, God.
Also, I don't like Scorpius's instant crush on Rose.
I know. That's...
I like her. She's quite fierce. Like,
it's.
And he's 11. Who says quite fierce?
I know. I was going to say, like, in theory, like, when I think about it, like, the fangirl of me goes, oh, that's so cute. But at the same time, like, let's see what you think of this. I hate in stories when they just have to have their romantic plot line.
Yeah.
Like in Series of Unfortunate Events in the show, they have the Quagmires and the Baudelaires, like, or Baudelaires liking each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why?
Also, I know he's 16, but he's a good looking boy.
Which one?
The Baudelaires.
Klaus? Yeah.
Klaus and, what's her name?
I forget. His Violet, yeah. Violet.
They are going to be very good looking when they become of age.
Oh, yes, they will.
I know that sounds so weird because they're 15 and 16 because I looked it up. I was like, how old are they?
Yeah.
They are stunning individuals. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. that's a good tangent to go on. That's a good series.
But yeah, I do agree. I don't like forced romantic.
Yeah, it's just, and they have to do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot stress that enough. I guess we all know this. Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there it is. Like, I feel like I should just point it out every time I read or watch something because it's just so unnecessary. It's like, why can't people just, how many people do we meet in our lives that we don't fall in love with that we just know?
Exactly. And like Harry didn't fall in love with Hermione the first time she set eyes on, he set eyes on her, or Ginny. Mm-hmm. Or like, so why are you forcing these 11-year-olds to like be like, oh, swoon?
Oh, I mean, it does happen in the Harry Potter books, like toward the end, like, but you know, but you're right.
Yeah. My last comment is the second to last line. Scorpius, as smoke comes out of his ears, thank you for staying for my sweets, Albus. Why is he shouting? Is peppermint like making you scream?
I guess so. Which if I was walking by that compartment, I'd be like, yeah, not hanging out with them. All right.
Weird.
But yeah, so shall we move on then?
Yes.
Act 1, Scene 4.
A transition scene. Mm. So there is a stage note saying that this isn't exactly a scene.
Yeah.
It's all about magic and we're leaping between worlds. Which is weird. We're not leaping between worlds.
Right.
We're leaping forward in time. So there's no individual scenes but fragments.
Right.
So my one sentence is Harry Potter and the Impossible scene changes. So
it's awesome.
So this is where we're going to be shown years of advancement through Hogwarts.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
I hate it.
Me too.
First of all, I try to visualize it in a play format. The only way I could think about it is if they had the stage divided down the middle and have one side illuminated, they show that scene, second side illuminated, show that scene while they're setting up other fragment.
Gotcha.
And possibly have two actors of each, like two Albuses, two Severuses, or not so, two Scorpiuses. Yeah. Two of the main people, unless they walk from that scene into the other, like through the wall divide.
Yeah, I wonder how that works. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Right.
We're going to have to talk to someone
who
has seen the play.
Yeah.
So I don't like that. I don't like the sorting hat.
No.
There's a lot of things about this part that just, why does it vary from the book? Like, from the book series. Like, the fact that they don't read the names in alphabetical order while getting sorted.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're just in a jumble mess, and the sorting hat goes plop, 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 plop on each head.
And I guess because the limitations of a play, that's why they're doing it. I could see it being, like, cool where it's, like a passage of time. Like, if they have music, like, circling around and, like, showing glimpses. But, like, as a story, I think that is such a weak form of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because especially, like, when I read this, I honestly thought, like, going into it, I honestly thought it was going to be Albus Potter's first year of Hogwarts. That's what I thought going into it when I first read it. And then I kind of thought, you know, as much as, you know, as complex as an 11-year-old's life can be, I think it's very hard to reach that complexity. Mm-hmm. Certainly J.K. Rowling, I don't really think, reached it.
No, not in her first book.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, at age 14, that's a good age to do this. But then why not just start there? Like, yeah. But I guess they felt we needed that context, but they could give that context.
Yeah, you can, because there's so much in a play that has to be told to the audience.
Right.
You know, you can say it to the audience without having all the setup.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right at the, like, have a little bit of, like, you have a narrator.
Right, in place.
You can have a narration of them, like, getting ready for their fourth or fifth year of Hogwarts. Yeah. And then being there, Albus is already broody. You know, yeah. He already is friends with Sirius. And then they could talk about, not Sirius.
Oh, Scorpius. I didn't even pick up until, yeah.
Scorpius could be like, hey, remember that time when we met the first time on the Hogwarts Express?
Right, yeah.
When I gave you candy and a rose ran away. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you do.
Right.
That's how you pick up at that point.
Right.
And set up your character development, mm-hmm, without showing it all.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really good point. And I honestly, like, if, again, pointing back to Wicked, like in Wicked, that play starts, or the musical starts off with Glinda coming down after the Wicked Witch has died. And mm-hmm, she's basically saying, like, how, like, oh, the Wicked Witch of the West is dead. And then she goes, well, like, this is how it all started. And then they talk about her birth and talk about her upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the play starts. And then it leads us into that present day when we start with the witch's story.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool. Or we were talking about earlier the fact that this play is two parts and how ridiculous that is. Think of something like Les Miserables, which is adapted from, I think it's an 1,100-page book. Yeah. It's big.
It's a play.
It's a musical. But
no, the original story. I thought it was
a... No, it's a book.
Oh, it is a book. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is a book, and written by Victor Hugo, the same author of Hunchback of Notre Dame,
mm-hmm,
which, let's all remember that we shouldn't... That's the English translation of it. It's actually called Notre Dame de Paris, and is much more... we don't need to talk about that, but just my English major. Anyway, so... that is such a complex, I mean, as you know, complicated story. So many characters.
So many.
Yeah, and so many things to touch. And I don't know how long it is. It's a pretty long show, but
it's about
two and a half hours.
Hours.
Yeah, which I don't think is unfair. When you see a Broadway show, you pay a lot of money. You want to have a longer thing.
How long do you think these plays are?
That's a good question. I think we know that answer. I wonder if...
Anyway, you can look it up. I'll keep talking. I'll find it.
Okay. But yeah, I agree with you. I hate the progression. I just wish that there would be one focused age, because I think that when we're kind of skating over the fact that, like, we miss his first year, we miss his second year, we miss his third year, why put it in there at all? Why not get rid of the fat, as we were talking about?
Yeah, because, like, you think about Cosette, we see her as a child, and then skip right to an adult,
right?
You know, there's
we don't need it,
and there's like not a narration, but like basically when he's singing, it's like, I've been on the run for all this time,
that's all you really need, because that, exactly, because that story is so long, they're really trying to put it all together, and they do a really good job. So while you're looking that up, I wanted to comment on this conversation that Draco has with Harry at the train station.
Part one is 2 hours and 40 minutes. Part two is 2 hours and 35 minutes.
Damn, that is...
So they are long plays.
Yeah, that's... Oof. That's rough.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if it's good.
That includes 20-minute intermissions.
Right, yeah.
But still.
Yeah, but
2 hours for each. That's...
Yeah.
Those are lengthy plays.
They are, yeah.
The conversation that you want to highlight during this?
With Draco and Harry after... We can talk about the conversation with Albus and Harry as well.
But
Draco says, I need a favor. And he says, he talks about the rumors about his son and his parentage.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks Harry what I don't think is an unfair thing to ask.
Yeah.
Make a statement in the paper saying that it's not true. And Harry says, no, it will blow
it just
over.
It feeds the rumor.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck you. No, it doesn't. Like, make a statement. Like, what are you talking about? Like, people will isn't that what you were fighting against in the first book? Dishonesty? Mm-hmm. Like, be honest. Like, tell people the truth.
Yep.
Don't fuel the rumors.
You are, like, you are putting, I think it's his own pride, to be perfectly honest, above the feelings of a child who is your son's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's rude.
It is. It's awful. And especially because, like, after everything that's happened, like, it seems that Draco, for the most part, has turned over a new leaf. For Harry to look to Dumbledore, who always believed in second chances, mm-hmm. and have, like, his son named after him,
mm-hmm.
maybe try, Harry. Especially, yeah. like, it's one thing to say at the age of 17 for Harry to, mm-hmm. like, okay, he's a 17-year-old.
Yes.
But at a 17-year-old, he outright flipped out on Lupin for going to abandon mm-hmm. his wife and his child.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think a 37 or at this point 40-year-old Harry, or however old he is, would...
It should be around 40, yeah.
Yeah, like, would have sense enough to be like, wow, I'm an adult. You okay?
Yeah, I just got a really big chill.
Oh. You like you were going to fall for a second.
No.
But yeah, it's just so...
I wrote that in one of my notes, too. Like, yeah. Harry has not matured.
Yeah.
He has not matured at all. And... it's so confusing yeah. and conflicting yeah. because, like, it feels the transactions between Albus and Harry are very much peer
yeah.
transactions
mm-hmm.
and not father-son. And that if I ever spoke to my father that way,
right.
I would get a very stern talking to, yeah. you know, well, and it's just... especially for dad's Harry Potter.
Well, yeah. And the conversations are so heightened.
Yeah.
Like at year two, suddenly a year has gone by and he's like, I don't want to see you with me, dad. Blah, blah. Yeah. It's like...
Oh, he's 12.
He's 12. So I could see that. But just like the attitude he gives, mm-hmm. this just very bitter attitude for reasons that, like, okay, he's upset that he was put into Slytherin and he has to compare to his father. Have they not talked about this?
Yeah.
Like, do they not talk to each other?
Just about to say this. Have they not owled each other? Have they not written to one another? So we're bouncing back and forth between, well, not back and forth, but we keep climbing through the years quickly, and we find Albus becoming more jaded.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Rose comes, Rose gets inducted. To the Quidditch team as a new chaser. Lily gets put into Gryffindor.
Mm, yeah.
We find out that, like, people are talking behind Albus and Scorpius's back about being Voldemort's child. Also, they name these, like, Carl Jenkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we don't... like,
are they students?
They are students.
Okay.
But I don't... like, if they're, why name them if they're only going to be there for, like, a second?
I was going to say, it's very, that...
oh, no, there's Carl again. And Chapman.
They come back, but, like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. And so everyone makes fun of them for not being able to get their broom up and fucking up their potions and all this type of stuff. I don't know. It's showing their... growing up as outcasts.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I understand them having to show it.
I have... okay, I'm going to throw something at you, see what you think. Like with Lost in a Book, where we kind of talked about how it would be nice to stay at Nevermore instead of go mm-hmm. back to the castle. I wonder if this play would have been stronger, despite the fact that I do like the father-son stuff somewhat. Would it have been stronger if we had just gotten a Hogwarts story? A year at Hogwarts, or maybe in a few years at Hogwarts, but stayed at Hogwarts.
Yeah, I think that would be more appropriate and true to the books, especially if this is supposed to be the 8th.
Yeah.
You know, like, because those books were a book a year.
Right, yeah.
You know, that would make sense. And if you wanted to make multiple plays, I think that would make more sense.
That, yeah, you're right.
To me. And then you could have the development of Harry and his relationship with Albus and how it's failing.
Yeah, and they could, like, write back and forth. And
how is his relationship with Albus failing, but his relationship with James and Lily fine?
See, that's what I'm wondering, too, because at one point, I don't know if it's in this section or in the next one, the next episode, but they talk about, like, I think he's talking with Hermione, and she says something about his parenting, and he says, apparently, I'm just not a good parent. I'm like, well, you know... You have more than one kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's very strange, like, and I also wonder what's Albus's relationship like with Ginny.
Yeah.
Do we get that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is she another throwaway character in this play?
I mean, so far, yeah. I don't want to say anything because I don't really remember, but I'm going to assume yes. But yeah. And then we get the third year, like when they're on the getting ready for on the train. And this was actually interesting how Albus burns the Hogsmeade form that Harry gives him. That was sad.
It's getting dramatic now, which is like, and I don't know how they would do this in the play, but it talks about in the stage notes, as time moves forward, Albus's eyes become darker, his face grows more shallow.
Yeah.
He's still an attractive boy, but he's trying to not admit it.
Yeah, how would
weird. That's a weird note.
How would you know that in the balcony?
Yeah.
Like, do they have, like, a big screen that you see his face on? Like,
and also, it's just a weird note.
It saying, is a weird like, note.
I'm trying not to admit that I'm attractive.
Yeah. He's a diva, let's be honest.
So that I don't know how, maybe if it was a big screen and they just had his face up the whole time and says like year one, year two, and it's a little more year three, because you don't have to see his face on stage.
Yeah, because they, I don't know, I've only seen Les Miserables the one time or two times at the Walnut Street Theater. So I don't know how it was for you when you saw it, but when they changed every year, they would put the year on a screen that was behind the backdrop.
I don't remember.
Okay. So I think that's what they did. Just to show the passage of time, which didn't happen too often, but that's what they did.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that...
I don't quite remember. I just remember this. That was beautiful. And I was so happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, him, like... Also, he's doing underage magic when he sets the ball on fire.
Yeah.
What, is Hermione just going to ignore because she's the Minister of Magic?
Is she even there? Is she here in this part? Because I got the hint... That's like when Harry's talking to Hermione in the office later, that she doesn't always go to Hogsmeade. I mean, to... Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I have a note about that, too.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But one of my biggest problems is with the Sorting Hat as well. Because, like, his verses during... in the books were so complex and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they even make a comment on it. It's like, wow, that was really intense. It's like, well, he has a whole year to work on it. And the Sorting Hat in this one is shit. Like, stupid little couplets that don't even rhyme all the time.
I know.
They rhymed Gryffindor and Ravenclaw. Like, it says, are you afraid of what you'll hear? Afraid I'll speak the name you fear? Not Slytherin, not Gryffindor, not Hufflepuff, not Ravenclaw. Don't worry, child. I know my job. You'll learn to laugh if first you sob. Lily Potter, Gryffindor.
Yeah, what the? Like, come on. That's weird.
I hate that.
Yeah, that's terrible. I kind of, I didn't like reading these at all, so I kind of, like, put them out of my mind.
Yeah.
I hate that last line. Like, if you first sob, or first you sob, what? Like, that's dumb.
Lily was excited to go into there. Albus is at Great Scorpius. Do you really think she'd come to us? Potters don't belong in Slytherin. Albus, this one does.
I really like that tension. I really like Albus's attitude.
I didn't mention why I put a sad face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Scorpius's mom dies.
Yes, that is really sad.
That is really upsetting.
And I wonder, I think about Draco, and just how he would feel about that, maybe that was the one person. You just think about him falling in love with somebody, somebody who actually understands him and looks at him without seeing a Slytherin or a Malfoy, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah, we don't know.
And the fact that Scorpius lost his mother, and the fact that that Rose still thinks he's a jerk, or is mean to him. It's just awful.
And he still likes Rose.
I know.
Because, when Rose gets picked as a chaser, he's like, yay!
It's like, don't like her. Like, go to somebody else.
And that's Albus's cousin, and Albus is like, fuck her. Like, right. Jesus Christ, Albus. Like,
well, even at one point, I don't know if it's in this part, where, they get in the train, and they're like, we're just practicing for our parents. And I'm like, all right, kids, exposition, that's enough.
Yeah. Jesus.
All right. Yeah, that's very sad.
Yeah, so Albus came onto the train all brooding, and runs into Scorpius, and he's all my dad sucks. He's so popular, and I'm not. And he runs into his best friend, whose mother's dead, and he's Oh, well, shit. You think that would throw some perspective into him.
You would think.
Even him being 13, 14 years old at this point.
It would, yeah. Because then he probably would start See, that's another thing. This moment in the play spurs, like, you would think spurs this, like, character development mm-hmm. within him. But nope. It just, it happens and it's done and nobody, it doesn't affect anybody. I'll be interested to see how Scorpius comes out of this.
Yeah. That's why I am interested as well.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on?
Yeah. Act 1, Scene 5, Ministry of Magic, Harry's office, where Hermione's like sitting in front of like this huge pile of forgotten paperwork from Harry and all of his missions as, what is he?
He's an Auror. Well, but he's ahead of
Department of Defense or whatever.
Yeah, something like, let me see if I can find that part.
Head of magical law enforcement.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, okay.
He's shit at his job.
I was going to say, how did he get that job? Because he's popular. Yeah. Is Harry Potter the reason that people who are, you know, actually credible people don't have good jobs?
Who are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just making a statement. Anyway, what is your one sentence summary?
Oh, hold on. I write them in the back of the chapter. Hermione Granger and the absent mother.
Ah, good. That's a good sentence. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, she's the Minister of Magic. A mistress?
I think they just say Minister of Magic.
Ah, that's strange. Isn't that male? I don't know. I don't know what the female version would be.
I don't know either. I think there's sort of something, I don't know if I would say empowering is the right word, but just taking the male form of that. Like,
everyone's an actor now. There's no actor, actress.
Right. That's what I was just about to say. Yeah.
So she's the Minister of Magic. And my comment of this, of her being an absent mother, is she just chastised Harry for having all this paperwork, mm-hmm. not doing everything properly in his job. And then she's like, you know what? Go see your kids. I'm going to stay here.
Right.
And, like, do what I need to do. Like, Hermione, with a grin, you know, Ron said he thinks I see more of my secretary, Ethel, than him. Do you think there's a point where we have to make a choice? Parent of the year or ministry official of the year? Go on. Go home to your family, Harry. The Hogwarts Express is about to depart for another year. Enjoy the time you've got left. And then come back here and with a fresh head and get to those files. So she knows that she's spending... Her husband is basically saying, hey, you're spending a lot of time at the ministry. Like, be home.
Yeah, and it's...
I don't like that.
It could
be a testament to how the working woman now is, like, split between one her job or her family.
But this play doesn't even try to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of... It's almost, like, mocked. Because even, like... Okay, another thing that I have to... Just building off of that, too, mm-hmm. is, like, one thing that I kind of hate about the Harry Potter books is how they're, like, Harry Potter and Hermione Granger basically saves the day.
Yeah.
That Hermione is constantly picking up the slack for these boys, not only in school, mm-hmm. but in logic. The fact that Harry in book 5 doesn't listen to her, mm-hmm. and that is just crucial to what ends up happening. The fact that she's constantly doing all this research, that she's and doing all the emotional lifting for them as well, that after all this time, she's still doing their work for them.
Mm-hmm.
What a terrible outcome.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, for this amazing character who so many girls have looked to as, mm-hmm. like, their favorite character to read in literature.
Yeah. And how, like, degrading it is for the male characters as
well.
Like, on the opposite end of the spectrum. Because, like, these characters could be... Like, I would love to see Ron be a stay-at-home dad.
Right, I agree.
How cute would that be?
That would be amazing.
I think that would be perfect for him. But, like, it just like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very conventional, almost. Like just in the way it approaches it. Like, oh, well, I guess I can't be both. I guess, like, I have to make a joke about it. Mm-hmm. I'm a working mom. Ha ha. So I don't get to see my kid.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't pigeonhole your characters. Like, especially, I don't know, just the whole thing with J.K. Rowling once again, where she acts like she's so progressive about things, and then she endorses this play that literally is so far from
the point she was originally trying to make.
Yeah. You know? I don't know.
I don't know. And I also didn't like this. Oh, well, hold on. Let me backtrack just a little bit.
Okay.
So they're talking about all the stuff that's going on recently within the Wizarding world.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, people are the werewolves are missing, the trolls are moving, so are the giants, and we don't really know what's going on. Hermione wants Harry in the office. Harry wants boots on the ground. And so, it's just clunky the way they're speaking.
Yeah.
The very first one, two lines. How did it go? It was true.
Yeah. What, like, yeah.
It is true. Or it's true, you know. It was true. Theodore not in custody. And then later on, when she gives her whole speech about being the parent of the year or ministry official of the year. And then reference, like, knowing that all this movement is going on under Voldemort's supporters.
Yeah.
Harry, do you really think this could all mean something? Hermione with a smile. It could do.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, it's...
It could.
Right.
Not it
What's
could
the
do?
Because,
like, I read this to Kevin, and he's like, well, yeah. Well, no, to my little brother, Dylan. And he's like, that makes sense. And I was like, no, it doesn't. When you say this could do, it means something suffices.
Right.
Like, this pen will do, you know, this could do. Not, does that mean something? This could do.
It's amateurish.
Yeah.
It's an amateur way of writing.
Yeah. It felt weird reading it. And it felt weird saying it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, Theodore... what's his last name?
Not, I think.
Not. Yeah. Is now thrown into this.
Right.
And we know Theodore was a Slytherin.
Okay.
In the original story. And everyone's still referencing Voldemort's supporters. So I'm, like, very confused. Because if Voldemort is dead, then you don't say Voldemort's supporters. You know, like... You don't say Hitler supporters. Hitler's dead.
You say Death Eaters or Nazis.
Or Nazi supporters, you know, like, or Nazi sympathizers.
Right.
You know, so you take the group, not the individual.
Right.
So.
That was me. Sorry.
I'm just confused on the phrasing and, like, is it alluding to Voldemort still being alive? Is it, like.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know where things are going.
Yeah, it's very. See, it's. It's murky. Murky water. Yeah.
Murky water.
I don't like it. I don't like this. I don't like this scene at all.
Yeah. This scene, they discuss Theodore having a time turner.
Oh,
and man. Which is a huge issue in itself. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there, when J.K. Rowling introduced the time turner, she herself has said in interviews, if I can find some, I'll put them in the show notes, that she herself recognized the complications that these presented, because then after she shows that, really go back in time and try to fix anything. That's the solution. So that's why in book 5 they destroy the time turners.
Yeah,
obviously not on purpose, but, you know, for narrative economy, but which makes sense. But now suddenly we have this back, and it's like, so you want to make things complicated again? Like,
yeah,
you want to give us a story that's going to be so convoluted? Like, it just. That's easy, if anything. Time travel and stuff, like implementing this time turner.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
I don't like it.
Me neither. And then they start talking about, like, how they're off sugar now because they're adults. Like, okay. Like, whatever. Like, I don't understand, like, why we have this emphasis that suddenly when you're an adult, you can't have fun. Like, as if, like, he's saying, like, because we're adults. Like, or just because you want to be healthy. Like, I don't know. Just throwing it there. But, yeah.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Like, just to have that little commentary. But maybe it's just a callback to the first act where...
With the... Yeah.
The sugar.
Yeah.
It might just be that.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if... I know, like, we're saying that Hermione is the Minister of Magic, but I don't know if we've actually gotten confirmation that she is the Minister of Magic just yet.
No, there's...
Right,
She says it here.
Well, she doesn't say it. She kind of, like, says... I don't know. It's like, let me see.
She implies it.
Right.
You're certainly not being told off. Consider this a gentle nudge from the Minister of Magic.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, Harry hears the implication in her emphasis. He nods. So.
Yeah. And then this is the part where she says, like, oh, or he says he's not a good parent. And then she's, and I'm thinking, you have two other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And just because your child is having a hard time doesn't make you a bad parent. Like, I don't understand why that's a thing. But, you know, whatever. I don't know if you have any other notes for that.
That's it. It just, it sucks that Hermione is thought of as a distant mother. Like, Harry sucks at his job.
I wonder if, I mean, again, the epilogue.
Time turners here. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
No, I'm just thinking of other things that happen in the scene.
I know the epilogue, we obviously both don't really like it that much. Obviously, it felt a need to have, like, them have kids. But wouldn't it have been better maybe if Ron and Hermione didn't have kids? Like, maybe, like, or maybe not right away, like Harry and Ginny. Like, maybe they would have waited. So maybe in this book, if she is Minister of Magic, she wouldn't have kids, and therefore it wouldn't have that need to make her be torn between that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know what you...
Well, like, in relation to this, you mean, then? Because she's not Minister of Magic in the epilogue, is she?
No.
Yeah. So, like, she doesn't have this type of conflict in the epilogue.
Right.
So...
I'm specifically talking...
In relation to this.
Yeah, so it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So.
That's the, yeah.
Yeah. We can't rewrite that.
Yeah, we can't. So. Yeah. We can't? Why?
Why?
Okay. All right. Act 1, Scene 6.
Harry and Ginny Potter's. Okay. We're at Harry's house.
There you go. The Potter house.
Albus Potter and the much older woman.
Oh.
That is my one chapter summary.
I really like that one.
So the scene setup is Albus is on the stairs and he's overhearing a conversation with Harry and Amos Diggory.
Yeah.
Okay. So Amos is Cedric Diggory's father and he's in a wheelchair and he's like old and frail now, and all he wants is his son back. And he heard a rumor that the ministry has recovered a time turner. That is the scene.
Yep. And we meet Delphi.
All right. Daphne, Delphi, Daphne.
I think we're just going to call her different names throughout this because
probably.
I think that would be more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We find out that Harry keeps dodging Amos.
Yeah, which, come on, yeah. Harry.
If you feel so responsible for Cedric's death, you would see his father.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's like, I feel so responsible, but then like he's being a coward, which Harry wouldn't be. He stood up to the Minister of Magic and outright said, like, I will not be your man. Like, I'm Dumbledore's man through and through.
Yeah.
Like, Harry's not one to avoid conflict. He actually runs right into it.
Yeah.
Idiot. Which, and people might say, well, it's because he's young and reckless. No, it's because as he gets older, he comes to realize the importance of standing up for what he believes in.
Yeah, he's also young and reckless.
He is. Yes, that's true.
Speaking as another Gryffindor.
No, he is, just not in that context. But no, you're totally right. He is.
Okay, so I want to set up the timeline, though. So we just popped out from the... from their office. Harry's office.
Yeah. Okay.
So they had just discussed capturing Theodore Knott and getting the time turner. And... is this night now?
I'm assuming, because he says he can't sleep, Albus.
He can't sleep. So, the conversation with Harry and Hermione happened, where she says, the Hogwarts Express is going to be departing soon.
Right.
So, that implies to me that it's, like, in a couple hours? Like, that it's there and people are getting ready to go?
Yeah.
So, then we cut to this scene, and it's nighttime, because Albus couldn't sleep, and it's before they get on to the Hogwarts Express. It's the night before the Hogwarts Express. So where in relation was the conversation between Hermione and Harry And did Amos find out about this? When did the raid happen? Because it just happened, and now he's here. But if the Hogwarts is just leaving, like departing soon.
Okay, so I'm thinking. So she means it's leaving soon. Perhaps it happened at nighttime, and he wasn't home yet, and she was doing paperwork, and that's why she said maybe like, oh, I'm torn between, or she didn't say this, but like being torn between being a mother and a minister of magic because she's doing work when she should be at home with her family.
Okay.
And then he gets home, and when he gets home, Amos Diggory is there.
Well, he's finding out everything very quickly then, regardless.
Right, yeah.
Because if they just found out, it's supposed to be hush-hush because all the time turners are supposed to be destroyed. And if anyone on the wrong side finds this time turner, bad things are going to happen.
You know what this makes me think of? I think I'll never stop bringing this up when it comes to bad books, but it's like that conversation, again, from the first Harry Potter movie, where Harry and Hagrid have that conversation. Mm-hmm. If Amos Diggory came in and said, I heard about the time turner from Theodore Knott, why isn't Harry's response...
Oh, he didn't say from Theodore Knott. He just said, I heard
about
it.
Or he just heard about it. Why wouldn't Harry's response be, okay, who was with me and who leaked this information? Why isn't that a thing that crosses? And the thing is, you could say it's not his perspective, but we literally get a scene with him and Ginny talking. So, yeah, it's a weird response because all he does is just shakes his head and he like just gives it away. He's like, yeah, I guess there is one. Like, I won't deny it.
Like, yeah, the ministry has a time turner, does it not? The time turners were all destroyed. The reason I'm here with such urgency is I've just heard a rumor, a strong rumor, that the ministry has seized an illegal time turner from Theodore Knott.
From who? But who told you that?
Exactly. And has kept it. For investigation. Let me use it. Let me get my son back. So. He's in a wheelchair. How is he supposed to get his son back?
Right.
Like, just gonna roll up in that graveyard?
Yeah.
Like, unhand him, Voldemort.
Yeah. Like, and the thing is, like, okay, I know that, like, Amos Diggory as a character was very kind of rash, very like, oh, my son is the greatest. But, like, I feel like, how many years has it been at this point? Yeah, like, I mean.
Harry was 15?
14. Well, almost 15.
So he was 15, and now he's, like, 41. That's a long time.
Almost 30 years, basically.
Yeah.
Getting there. I don't understand, like, why this play seems to think that Amos Diggory, a person of, I'd say, sound mind, would not be able to.
I don't think he's of sound mind.
Well, now he's not.
Now he's not. No.
Yeah, now he's not. But in the books, like, he. I guess it's just very random to me. That suddenly we get this character conveniently being the plot of the story who couldn't accept, which I guess he couldn't accept the way his son died, but I think, I don't know.
There's a different way to do that. Because if your son died in such a tragic way, he's the first, you could honestly say he's the first victim of this new war.
Yeah, yeah.
And like be adamant about that. Like my son, the first fallen soldier, because I know my son would have fought alongside Harry Potter, and he did, like, that's how I would memorialize my son if he was in that situation.
Right.
If I were in that situation, you know, well, in a mythical world where there's wizards and dragons and all powerful all those beings.
Things,
So I don't know.
Yeah, it's just I don't know.
So Albus is overhearing all of this as he's on the top of the stair. And we see Delphi, whatever, literally pop up and look at them through the stairs at him, going, hello. And she is 20-something years old.
Yes, it is like...
Yeah.
Look, this scene got me because, like, after when she's talking to him, Amos calls, he's like, Delphi. And then it says she keeps talking to Albus. Then he calls her again, still talking. Then he calls her again. Don't you think that, like, Harry or somebody might, like, I don't know, look around and be like, where is this chick and why is she in my house?
Literally right around the corner.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the only way Albus would be able to hear all of this.
Right.
And they would be able to hear her talking to Albus. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I hate all of this.
Yeah.
I like your drawing of the setting of what you picture.
What I perceive it happening.
Well, that's a good drawing, because the way I perceived it in my head without thinking about just how it's set up, mm-hmm. was I was thinking, okay, so they have a stairway kind of like my basement with two walls on the side.
Yeah.
And that he would be looking down it, and then like maybe the kitchen. But even as I thought that, I thought, but that wouldn't make sense, because how would he really hear unless they're talking really loud? Mm-hmm. And then Delphi walks all the way in and then like looks up the stairs. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
So I like know. Your drawing.
Well, thank you. I'll have to take a picture of it later.
You should, yeah. Instagram.
And she's also like, she explains to Albus that her uncle, who is Amos.
Sorry,
Amos is at St. Oswald's home for old witches and wizards.
Yeah.
And she's like, come and see us sometime, if you'd like. Like,
what?
Why are you inviting this child? You don't... It is a child.
Right.
If she's 20-something, that means she's at 21 or 29.
Right.
You know, like, between those ages. And that's like me going up to a 14-year-old boy.
Right.
Saying, come visit me and my uncle at the old folks' home sometime.
It's awkward.
That's so weird.
It is weird. It's creepy. It's random. It's very, I think it's almost trying to go for like a Luna Lovegood feel, except like, don't ruin Luna Lovegood. Like,
oh God. Well, Lily Luna Potter.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I don't like that. They are not creative.
I hate their names. Let's just get it out of the way. I hate
so
the names.
Annoying.
Yeah. So I don't have any more notes. I don't know if you have anything else to say.
No, that's all. All
right. So we're almost done. We're getting there, folks. We're moving on to Act 1,
Scene 7. Yeah.
Sorry.
Harry and Ginny Potter's house, Albus's room.
Yes.
So, Harry Potter, the man boy who never grew up. That was my comment.
That's great. Okay, I will say, I don't necessarily hate this exchange. Like, I like the effort that Harry puts into it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, after all this conflict you have with your son, you thought that your baby blanket would fix it, and yeah. Like it just shows that Harry is not listening to his son.
Yeah,
he's trying, and I think that is a conflict that can happen with parent and child.
So in this scene, so what the scene is.
Yeah.
They are about to go to the Hogwarts Express, yes. And every year Harry gives people gifts. James got the invisibility cloak, which
is so much better.
Yeah. Well, and it's appropriate because it's his first son.
Right.
Lily got a pair of fairy wings that flutter. And Harry is offering Albus his baby blanket, the blanket mm-hmm. that he was found at the doorstep of the Dursleys.
Yeah.
And it's his only remaining piece of his mother.
Yes. Which is nice.
Yes.
I think that's kind of beautiful. And I think with the whole thing about like the invisibility cloak going to James, something of his father's, now mm-hmm. he's something of his mother's, kind of, yeah. I guess, like that he's giving to his son. And I think that's very touching.
And Albus is what, going to his fourth year?
Yes.
In this one? So yeah. Lily is in her second year, and mm-hmm. James is in his seventh, then, if he's 3 years older.
I thought he was 2 years older.
I thought it was two, but did you say one or two?
I thought it was one.
One.
So
okay.
I think he'd be in his fourth. I mean, fifth, sorry.
So he's either in his sixth or his fifth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know which one.
We don't know.
So that's, and then Albus is, oh God, this is so painful.
I know. Yeah.
I literally wrote that. He gives the blankie and he's like, well, what am I going to do with this? Like, and Harry explains the meaning behind it. And the guy, then Albus kind of just like repeats Harry's story. You know, I know Hogwarts for you is the greatest place on earth. The poor orphan bullied by his uncle and Aunt Dursley. And Harry's like, Albus, like, please, like, can we just not do this? Traumatized by his cousin Dudley, saved by Hogwarts. I know it all, Dad. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to rise to your bait, Albus Potter. I would have been smacked.
I had spoken
like that.
Yeah, and he says, I'm not going to rise to your bait. He's your son, not a bully. Like,
yeah.
You can rise to the bait and say, yo, like, mm-hmm. maybe not like that, but, you know, be a parent and
yeah.
do something.
Yeah, like, this is just shitty parenting.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm saying. He never grew up.
Right.
He's 40-some years old, and, like, he's not dealing with his son.
Because people do things for him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's basically it. And, like, Harry, quote, loses his temper. You know what? I'm done being made responsible for your unhappiness. At least you've got a dad, because I didn't, okay? Like...
Yeah, it's not about that, yeah.
But my like, there's a lot of people I knew who didn't grow up with one parent or the other, or had abusive parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they... Like, this is not real dialogue.
Right.
This is not actual dialogue.
And even if somebody said that, that would be a very unfair thing to say, because everybody's experience is different. You can't expect a child, a 14-year-old child, to have that emotional weight of not having a parent, because mm-hmm. he has grown up with two parents. And as much as you'd like to think he'd understand what that would mean to not have a parent, he probably doesn't. I mean, it's just... That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe when he gets older, he'll get it, but he doesn't get that. And you can't say that to him. Well, I didn't have a father, so you're lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he is lucky to have a father, but, like, mm-hmm. that's not the point of what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not that I blame Harry for this.
Right.
I don't like Albus. I think he's a shit
character. Albus is a little shit.
Yeah. I don't like Albus.
I don't think, yeah.
I know you said that you like their friendship.
I like their friendship. I don't know if I like Albus that much.
I don't like Albus at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I have like such a... And this is kind of where I shut down reading this play for the first time. Around 42, yeah. It's because I cannot connect with Albus.
Yeah.
At all.
I'm wondering if, like, because Albus is very angsty. And it makes me think of, like, angsty Harry in book 5. But unlike angsty Harry... Albus is just a whiny little bitch.
Yeah.
And Harry actually had something to be angsty about.
Yeah.
Like, it's trying to reflect that, maybe?
He's more Snape than he is Potter.
Yeah, for sure. And he like we said, he has this attitude for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like, you were sorted into Slytherin, people bully you. That's not your dad's fault? Like, why are you... And...
They bully him because he's not his father, though.
Right.
So, and yes, his dad, it's not his fault that he's famous, but as a naive child, you're going to blame a parent for that because you're constantly, because I did the same thing with when I was in high school and everyone compared me to my brothers. My brother, I have one a year older and one a year younger, and I was constantly their sister.
Right, yeah.
So I was very, like, annoyed, and it's not their fault.
Right.
And so, like, that's... Growing up as that age, I saw it as their fault, though. So, it's perspective now as an adult. I know that it's not their fault.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to say what I'm... I just don't... I get that, because I... Same with my brother. Like, but... It's just... There's a difference, though, I think, between that kind of blame and what he's putting on Harry.
Yeah.
Like, he's putting a blame on him for everything that's happened to him. Like, you acted, like, the fact that Harry acted a hero. Yeah.
But there's nothing that's happening to him. He's just being...
Well, not that we...
It's just being poked fun. There's nothing shown.
Right, exactly. What do we know? We just, we hear about it. We don't see it.
Yeah.
Which is just a play. It's visual. Why aren't we seeing this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we see them being, like... Honestly, Scorpius is... being more brutalized than Albus.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just let the failed Gryffindor and Voldemort's son deal with that. You know, that was in potions class.
Yeah.
And also, that doesn't make any sense because Slytherins stuck with Slytherins.
Right.
You know, they might have not liked each other. Snape wasn't very well liked, but they all stood up for him. That's why he was such good friends with the Malfoys.
Right.
Because they're all Slytherins together. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, Malfoy didn't like Crabbe and Goyle, like, but they were his posse. They're his friends. They all stuck together.
Yeah.
And so it's not in character for these books.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yeah.
Sorry.
no, that's I feel like we've been like kind of ripping this play apart for good. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, it's just hard to see because it's a Harry Potter play, because it's called the 8th Harry Potter book. it's almost necessary to poke at this stuff.
If it wasn't labeled as that, if change all the names.
Yeah.
Change the castle. Like, this would be an okay book.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be terrible. Yeah.
Like, if you just read this, as I would think it's a Snape origin story.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
You know what this... Okay, so just a tiny tangent. When this play was first announced, before the plot was announced or anything, they just said, oh, there's going to be a Harry Potter play. There was a lot of speculation about what is it going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, I don't know if the title was announced before the plot, but originally they were saying that, oh, it's going to be about Harry with the Dursleys.
Oh.
That was the rumor. I don't know if anybody officially said that or if they reworked it or what, but that was the original thought, I remember. Mm-hmm. And then I remember, like, Cursed Child came out, and we're like, oh, like, is Harry Potter the cursed child because he's, like, cursed to live with the Dursleys? And yeah. Then they said it was an Albus and Harry, like, story, oopsie, a father and son. Yeah. And I remember being like, oh, I mean, that's great, but being the cynical person that I am, it's probably going to suck.
Who's the cursed child? Who is the cursed child?
I do know who that is, and we will get to that.
Okay.
And it freaking sucks.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I'm so Don't excited. I will not say anything, I promise, but I'm very excited just to see your reaction because I think you'll be as pissed as me. But yeah, so let's move on unless you have anything more to say about...
No, do you have anything to say about it?
No, I just wrote not a bad father and son scene,
yeah.
Even though it's a little frustrating.
It's very painful.
Yes.
Oh, just little Lily.
Yeah.
She's 12 then, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And she got her wings, and she's like, I love them. They're fluttery. I'm like, that's Luna. Like, that's
Luna all over.
There's her namesake.
Yep. There she is, coming out of her.
Oh, and then the important thing was Harry said that he wished Albus wasn't his son.
That's right. That's right. And yeah. I wonder, like, do you think that that was just, like, something that came out? Or do you think there... I mean, I know there's some meaning behind it, but do you actually think that that's something that he yeah. thinks about?
Oh, it's not, that is definitely something that yeah. he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. that is realistic for a parent to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to Act 1, Scene 8.
Dream, Hut on the Rock.
My notes for this are okay. Oh, yeah, your one sentence summary.
Oh, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
I mean, literally. Let's be honest. Like, this was... Ugh.
It was just a rehashing of... Of them being on the rock in the middle of the ocean.
I was going to say, the only thing I feel that we could comment on here is at the very end, you hear Voldemort's voice going, Harry Potter.
Nice. And, like, that's literally the only thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Me neither.
Because Voldemort's dead.
Right.
Unless, do you think he's not actually dead? Because later on, they get the time turner, and this is influencing the current timeline.
Saying this without giving away anything, as if I hadn't read before, maybe. I'm being serious. Like, I'm saying it completely as if I hadn't maybe. Read. I'm saying that's a theory to think about. I promise you it's not something I'm not letting the play influence me.
Yeah.
I remember when I first read this, I was kind of like, why is he hearing Voldemort in his head?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in the next scene. But,
yeah. Maybe it's supposed to be deeper than it is. Yeah. Only because I know the plot line is to get the time turner to save Cedric Diggory.
Yeah.
So maybe their current actions are influencing this timeline.
That's true. That's true. Oh, I even thought, like, when I first read it, I thought, like, oh... Something that I would like better is like a more psychological thing that even though Voldemort is dead, he still haunts Harry's nightmares. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's too much to hope for. Okay?
Too much to hope for.
So I don't have anything really more to say about it.
Yeah.
We should move on to scene 9.
Scene 9, Harry and Ginny Potter's house in the bedroom.
In the bedroom.
A lot is happening and they still haven't gone to the fucking... Okay, yeah, and that doesn't make... What is this timeline?
I know. Well, because he eventually goes to bed after the whole thing with, you know, getting the time turner and all that.
Well, okay. I'm just going to bring this up because scene 10, it's the Hogwarts Express.
Right.
Okay. That's when they go off to their fourth year.
Correct.
Or third year. So third year or fourth year?
Fourth year.
Fourth year.
Yes.
So the third year is when he gives him the blanket.
No, that's right before the fourth year.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. It's confusing. Because the third year is when Lily is...
Okay,
sorted.
It still doesn't make sense, though. Okay, so he's giving him the blanket for his fourth year.
Yes.
Because he's 12. He has that big fight.
Yes.
Then they go to bed. He has the dream.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then when...
When is Amos and the conversation with Hermione?
Is that 2 days before? But then why would that...
Why is Hermione saying it's departing soon?
Right. What is? Do they know what the word soon means?
God, I'm so... Yeah, because then she goes, go off, get your kids ready, and then come back with a fresh head. So...
Why couldn't she just say the train is leaving tomorrow or in 2 days?
Yeah. Is leaving this week.
Yeah. Oh.
See, this is... That's why I'm confused.
Yeah, I see.
You see where I'm going?
I don't like... Oh, God, I hate this.
All right, so anyways.
All right, we're almost done. We're getting there. So what is your one sentence summary?
My one sentence summary is Harry Potter and PTSD.
Yes.
So he wakes up in a cold sweat and he basically tells Ginny that he had a dream in which he heard Voldemort and his scars hurting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think in an ideal world, this would be a very tender scene. Which I think it kind of is, but, like, I don't know.
I like Ginny in this scene.
Me too.
Yeah, because it shows how I imagined Ginny from the movies and the book. Like, very dry. Like, a mother figure, but sarcastic as all hell.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's how I feel. Like, Harry wakes up and she's like, do you want a sleeping draught? You don't seem fine. It doesn't seem... particularly fair on you, like they're talking about the conversation that they had, like he had with Albus.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, maybe you should just be honest, Harry. I just wish he was more like James or Lily. Well, maybe just not that honest,
right? Like, yeah, I like dryly. That
so I like Ginny in this.
Yeah, I won't disagree. I mean, I didn't have a strong opinion, but I did like her here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to say. So he doesn't tell Ginny about the pain in his scar. Like, she asks about it and he says he's fine. But my problem here is that why is he feeling a pain in his scar? Because this is where the big issues come for me in this play.
Okay.
That there are, like, literal things that happen and our plot points that would not happen if we were sticking to what happens in the seven books.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, his scar is hurting. Why did his scar hurt in the books? Because he felt Voldemort was close.
Correct.
Why did he feel Voldemort? Because he was a Horcrux, that part of Voldemort's soul was inside him. That's why he felt it.
I didn't even think of that.
Voldemort is dead. All the Horcruxes are dead. So why is he feeling this?
Well... So,
unless you think there's another Horcrux,
I'm hypothesizing. If they go back in time and they fuck with the timeline, he never kills that part of himself.
Maybe. Maybe as pretending somebody I haven't read forward.
And I'm shrugging.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brittany's shrugging.
So that'd be the only idea that I can come up with.
That's not a bad hypothesis.
Yeah. Or, yeah. And like, maybe not so much a scar hurting, but the dreams, because Voldemort, he didn't necessarily have the dreams because he was part of a Horcrux. Yeah, because Voldemort is a master at whatever that mind reading thing is.
Part of it is, yeah, occlumency. It. Yeah.
So it's two sides of the same coin.
Well,
so you could cut off the one and still influence the other.
Well, I'll say this. So part of that was the only reason Voldemort did that is because he found out they had a connection. Yeah. Otherwise, he couldn't have done it.
And he found out a connection because he was having dreams of Harry as well.
Right. Well, he could tell, Harry was the snake or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he would have realized it had it not been for the Horcrux.
But I'm saying, like, even if you kill that Horcrux, Voldemort is still alive, he still might be able to get that connection if his magic was strong enough.
If it was strong enough. I don't know if you could do Occlumency from that far away, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then how does this world work?
We don't know.
We don't.
It's literally,
why?
We do not know.
All right. Yeah.
And she calls, Jenny calls Harry out on his bullshit. Are you fine? No. Does your scar hurt? No, I'm fine. Harry, how long has it been since your scar hurt?
Yeah.
Like, so she knows.
Well, I love at the end, too, where, how long has it been since your scar hurt? Harry turns to Jenny. His face says it all. And then Harry says, 22 years.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I kind of think of, like, Dr. Evil, like, 22 years, like $1 million.
Like, oh, yeah, $1 million's not that much. Is he only wants $1 million? Yeah. Oh, $22 million.
It's just like the drama.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how he puts on, Jenny says to Harry, how he's putting on this front of like the famous Harry Potter to Albus.
Yeah.
I guess he is. Is he?
I don't know.
I
didn't feel that.
Yeah, I always thought he's not putting on a front. I think he just is having a hard time being a parent and reaching out to a son who he just doesn't relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he could do otherwise, except, I don't know.
And also, okay, this is another thing I have an issue with.
Mm.
If, okay, Ginny is his mother, Albus's mother.
Yeah.
With the dynamics of that, the Weasley family...
Yeah.
There's someone that Albus is going to relate to.
I was
going to
say, like,
there's... Percy.
Yes. And that's another thing. Why aren't they integrated into the story?
Yeah.
It's as if they don't exist. They just don't talk about them unless...
So it's just Ron and Ginny.
Yeah.
As if no one else...
Yeah. It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's abrupt.
I think even Mr. Weasley, Arthur...
Yeah.
...would be able to connect well with Albus.
Yeah, because say Albus, like, okay, so says that he's kind of bad at magic. They call him a squib.
Oh, poor Albus.
Yeah, like, maybe, like, he, because of that, he would become interested in, like, Muggle studies or something.
Mm-hmm.
You talk with Mr. Weasley, and they talk about, like, Muggle stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I don't know. I feel, I have to do some research on Jack Thorne, because I do feel like this was a money grab. I don't feel like he's... did a lot of research into the Harry Potter world, or like, even if you just pick up fanfic off of any website and read a little bit, you could see different characterizations of these specific people, you know, and how other people think that their lives are going to turn out. And I don't think enough research was done on how their characters will really actually develop in a logical way.
Right.
Instead of just the brooding teen.
Yeah.
Which is so overdone.
Yeah, and I definitely... You're right, it is overdone. And it's kind of like you said, the research wasn't put into it. But yeah.
So where are we at?
We're done. Oh, we're at 2 hours.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we went on... I didn't anticipate it to be this long, but there you go.
Yeah, that happened, I noticed, in our first first season, too. When we first cracked open the book, we went on a lot of tangents. We got a lot of it out on the first couple episodes.
I was
going to
say, yeah, you're right. Maybe it will get better, because we're just entering the universe. So what you just said, like how we'll sort of be familiar with things, we won't be touching upon them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll get there. First episode's the longest.
First episode's the longest.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, I know.
First episode's the longest. When it comes to first episodes, they're bad. Not really, but
I don't know.
All just right. Pretend I didn't do that at all. All right, Brittany. Oh.
Anything to say?
Audible.
Oh, shit. They're going to cancel us.
Oh, yes, they will. So, listeners. Listeners, audible.com, the fine institution of audiobooks, audible.com. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And today, Our episode is being sponsored by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/BABAT, and there you can get a free trial for 30 days and a free audiobook of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to recommend the Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
You know, just
see what we're talking about.
Exactly.
We're going to recommend it, everyone, because there's 7 books.
Yes. So
we're just going to keep recommending it.
Just going to keep going. Just going to keep going until you can't go no more.
Yeah. So do all right. That.
So audibletrial.com/BABAT. Get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial to Audible. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, want to also remind listeners that we have our poll going on.
Yay!
For our next book. We know it's a little early, but we record these pretty early in advance. And mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we get your votes so that we can move ahead with our season 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. So be sure to vote on that at babatpodcast.com/vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And if you want to find us anywhere, we're on social media. We're all over the place.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We have a Gmail account.
Goodreads.
We have a Goodreads.
Tumblr.
Danielle set up our YouTube. It's connected
yes.
to her
mm-hmm.
Her parent YouTube yes. page.
Mm-hmm. So I'll put a playlist. It'll be on their website. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to listen to our episodes there as well, which is great. Mm-hmm. And you can also listen, like I said, you can listen on YouTube now, but you can listen on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, any podcatcher service. So Podcast Addict.
Mm-hmm. That's where I listen to us.
Yeah, Podbean. Stuff like that. And so I think that ends our episode, our very long episode talking about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It's only going to go up from here.
Yeah, we're very passionate about this subject, so.
Yes, we are, if you couldn't tell. So, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine.
We got this. Yeah. It's all right.
It's fine.
All right. Well, good night.
Good night, everybody. We love you!
Is that your sign off now?
Goodbye.